If you would turn to Luke chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 13 in a few minutes. And how many know anytime God wants to do a change in your life, there becomes a struggle? If God said, I want this or that out of your life, it becomes a struggle. You start having all these things going on inside of you. How many know when God wants you to get out of your comfort zone, you get all these kinds of struggles going on in your life? So anytime God wants to make any kind of changes in your life, there always seems to be this internal struggle. And as I was seeking God for the message this week, and the Lord shows me this portion of Scripture, and you start looking at Jesus being tested in the wilderness, and then you start thinking about all of the struggles and the things that you go through in your own life, and I think of in the church with all the sickness we've had lately, and all of the challenges that we're facing as we still want to reach out into this community, and you see all of these things and you see all these struggles. Sometimes if you're not careful, you can lose focus. You lose focus on what God wants to do because you allow a circumstance to get in front of you this morning, in front of your circumstances. And this morning, I want you to see, as we go and look at the wilderness experience of the Lord Jesus, and we see ways that he fought off the temptation, and so that he could accomplish all that God the Father wanted for his life. And I don't want, I know none of us think that we're God, but we can learn lessons here on how we can successfully get victory over temptation. We can successfully accomplish all that God wants to do in our lives. How many would think it's kind of cute when you think about an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, and that whoever would win the influence is how you act your life out? You know, you see these commercials. There's that chocolate milk commercial that comes, and they have an angel on one side and the devil on the other. If you listen to the devil, then you're not going to drink the chocolate milk. And you think of all of the other times where it's kind of cute to see this, and that one shoulder is an influence and on the other shoulder is an influence, and whoever wins the argument is what you're going to do. But I want you to know something. That's not scriptural. Can you say amen to that? That's not scriptural. The biggest enemy that we have to fight sometimes is ourselves. The flesh and our desires. Nobody had to train us from being a baby on to do things that weren't right, to do things that were contrary to God's word. The biggest enemy that we fight is ourselves, our own flesh and blood, and to do what moral compasses would say is right, or look God right in the eyes at time and say, I hear you, God, but I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. I'm not going to do what's right because I feel that I want the pleasure, the thing that's sin, more than I want you. And how many know that sometimes it starts all these struggles that go on in our life? Because we know sometimes what's right, but we choose not to, and then the Lord will get our attention. Unlike that skit that Flip Wilson used to do, and I'm talking age, but some of you wouldn't even know who Flip Wilson is, but he used to always say, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil cannot make you do anything because he's not all-powerful. He can only influence you. He's a fallen angel, and he influences us, and he strives on our bad habits and our weaknesses, and he will cause us, if we let him, to stumble. We will not be able to stand before God and say, the devil made me do it. We will stand before God on our actions, on our choices. So if you bow your head with me, I'd just like to pray this morning as we take a look at this portion of Scripture and apply it to our lives. Father, this morning I just ask that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, for those that are struggling with health, those that are struggling in issues of their life, that Lord God, one minute they're 100% in. They want to change things, but for whatever reason they struggle and fall weak. This morning I'm asking, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would fill us to overflowing this morning, that you would accomplish all that you want in our lives as changes come. May the circumstances go. May we receive what you have for us. As we look at this portion of Scripture, may we be encouraged that, Lord God, you will be there every step of the way. Your word tells us you won't leave us or forsake us, that you're our encouragement, you're our refuge, you're our strength. And as we look at this, may we be encouraged to know that what changes you want in our lives, that you will give us the power by your Holy Spirit to do if we would remain faithful and focused. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the text marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You look at this and you read through it and you see, first off, that if you're going to really have a ministry that involves doing something for God, God has to be in it. Amen. You have to, if you're going to try to do something in your own strength, you're going to be discouraged very quickly, because if you could do it in yourself, you wouldn't need God. And if it's a God ministry, you need God to be involved. You need His strength. You need His Holy Spirit to empower you. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And if you really take a look at what's leading up to this, it really would start in Mark chapter 1, where John the Baptist begins to go and baptize believers, asking them to repent and turn to the Lord. A baptism of repentance and forgiveness. And he comes out and he says, I'm the forerunner. After me comes one more powerful. Amen. When you stop and you think about it, here was a guy that did great things for God, and he knew right away that where his position was. He was the forerunner. He was to preach the gospel. He was to bring them to repentance. But the Savior is coming. And he stands there, and he's there, and he says, there comes one more powerful than me. One that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus is being baptized by John, and just as Jesus is coming out of the water, he sees heaven open up. And God speaks to all of those that are there, and the voice came from heaven, you are my son who I love, and I am well pleased. Don't run past that. We've heard this verse numerous times. Don't run past that. Can you imagine being John the Baptist, baptizing Jesus, the one where you're standing there and you're saying, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, and for heaven to open up, for God the Father to speak and let him know that all that he was doing was right. He was the forerunner. He was to do these things. And Mark chapter 1 says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Here the good news is coming. Here the good news is the anointed one. Here's the one that comes with all power and all of God's blessings. And Jesus makes a statement later in his ministry, which is an encouragement to me and should be an encouragement to each one of us that want to do God's best, that wants to be a part of ministry. He says this, greater things will you do because I go to the Father and the Comforter will come. That ought to get somebody excited this morning. Because as we sit and we do ministry, sometimes we feel like God, where are you? We feel like, God, the odds are against us. And there, here he says, the Comforter is going to come. The Comforter is going to give us the strength. The Comforter is going to bless what God wants us to accomplish in our lives. He says, greater things are you going to do because of that? Do you think the church universal, just a wild thought, do you think the church universal is missing out on what God wants to see accomplished when he stands there and tells the church, greater things will you do? Because I will send the Holy Spirit. Do you think we miss the mark sometimes? Do you think we allow the circumstances and the things going on in our lives to cancel out what God wants to do? Because one, we don't stay the course and see it through. Because at the end of the trial, a lot of times will be the blessing. or we get discouraged and we don't even try, or we think that we're not good enough. And you're right, in your own strength, if you're going to do a God thing, you're not enough. Because we need God in our lives to be able to accomplish those things. I think we miss it. Sometimes I think we look at the circumstance and we look at it just in our strength and what we can do, and we miss that God wants to do that. So look at Luke 4, starting at verse 1. Jesus going to be tested in the wilderness. Here's what they say about it. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your feet against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus is in the Jordan River. Jesus is there, and John witnesses Jesus being baptized in the Spirit, not only with water, but by the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. He leaves the Jordan and is led into the wilderness to accomplish all that God wants. Now, let me get this right. Jesus himself needed to be filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God to accomplish a task. Jesus himself, before he could do any devil stomping, needed to be full of God. Do you think that some of the times that we try to do things in ourselves, instead of being a devil stomper, we get stomped because we're not filled with the Spirit of God when we do these things? And we haven't sought out God to accomplish these things. You know, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. God leads him into the wilderness. Let me say this. If you're going to go into the wilderness, you better be full of the Spirit of God. And you better not be doing these things by yourself. And if you want to go into the wilderness to fight the devil, it better not be in your own strength. Can you say amen to that? Anybody besides me tried it? And got a good old-fashioned whooping for it? And then you ask God, why did that happen? And he says, because you tried to do it in your own strength, instead of in the strength of the Spirit working through it. The wilderness is a tough place. Can you say amen to that? It's even a tougher place without God. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. The language in the text here shows the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Jesus did not decide to go into the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness. Scripture actually tells us that God the Father drove him into the wilderness so that once he was in the wilderness, he would accomplish all that he was supposed to accomplish. And once he got into the wilderness, filled with God's Spirit, full, the devil begins to give him a hard time, begins to tempt him into these things. Jesus was there 40 days. Scripture says that he was hungry. How many know that the weaker you are, the more you're drained, that it seems like the devil will beat you up? That the more that the circumstances coming to him. Have you ever felt guilty about being tempted? No need to put your hands up, but have you felt guilty about being tempted? Have you ever felt that I've been a Christian for a long time? Why am I still tempted with some of these things that go on? Well, let me just point out a fact here that if the devil will attempt to tempt Jesus, what makes you think that the devil won't tempt you how long you've been a Christian? Or how he won't try to find your weakness in areas of your life? There's three distinct times here that we see that the devil tried to tempt Jesus to be out of character, to be out of God. In our sense, he attempts us to be out of our character as believers, as those that need to know Christ and should be living for Christ, and tries to get us to go against what we know the will of the Father is. What can we learn from some of these passages here that would prevent us from struggling sometimes, prevent us from failing to do what we know is right? We should not be surprised that we're tempted. The scripture doesn't say when Jesus went there he was tempted. It doesn't make it sound like that he's not. It's every one of us is going to be tempted. But scripture tells us that God provides a way of escape. Amen? And sometimes I think that many have fallen to sin and many were tempted because when God provides a way of escape, we choose not to take it. Amen? Oh, you can do better than that. Because I'm telling you, we've all been there. We've all been to where the Lord has given us a clear spoken voice to our spirit that says, get out of there. And we choose to stay. Don't do this, and we choose to do it. There's going to be consequences, and we do it anyways. So God is telling us that he provides a way of escape. And Jesus has taught us here that how to avoid falling into sin. For 40 days, Jesus was fasting and praying. For 40 days, Jesus was hungry. For 40 days, Jesus was desiring to do what God had called him to do. And for 40 days, God had his word sown into his heart. And you look at this, the word of God hidden in our heart will keep us from sin when we apply the word of God to our lives. Amen? God gives us the word sometimes, gives us the direction, gives us the way of escape, and we choose not to at times. And then we blame God for all the things that go on in our lives. We blame him when all the time he's tried to provide a way out. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Then he goes on, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." See, I want to tell you this morning that it is not sin to be tempted. It is not sin to be tempted. So when we're feeling guilty that we've been tempted, it's not sin until we act upon it. Until we choose to do what we know not to do, until we choose to not listen to the Lord. I heard it this way. I love this. It kind of stuck with me. It says this: temptation comes our way in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Our minds are like a hotel. The manager cannot keep someone from entering the lobby. However, he can certainly keep the person from getting a room. Sin passes through our mind. When it doesn't pass through the mind and it takes a room, it becomes sin. That's good stuff, ain't it? Because all the time our mind is working. I said a couple weeks ago, all those thoughts that we had, if we would turn that 50,000 thoughts to 70% positive, we would see a difference. If we would take all of those thoughts that race through our mind that cause us to do things that we're not supposed to do, because the Lord has showed us if we would take that and take captivity of it and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take captivity of it, we wouldn't be doing these things. It's not sin when we're tempted. It's when we act upon it. Temptation should not be confused with a trial. Amen? There's a big difference. In a trial, God will use trials to strengthen us, to move us in a direction, to help us get things right in our lives. Trials will sometimes come our way so that we can help somebody else. Amen? Because we don't know who's watching us. And it might just be what they need to make it through. Or we go through these trials and we use our experiences and how God has brought us through it to be able to speak to others. But when you look at a temptation, temptation comes two ways. And you got to be smart on how you look at it, because you need to understand what it is. See, the devil will use temptation to cause you to struggle, cause you to stumble. And then in the mix of that, you've got to get a grip on it. You cannot say the devil made me do it. You cannot blame it on the person that you've been around. You cannot blame it on somebody that was there and they just forced you to do something or say something that you weren't supposed to. You need to get a grip on it and know, is this the flesh? Is this just me wanting to fight against what God wants and asking God for a way of escape, asking God to forgive you for your thoughts, asking God to take you and give you the strength to make it through these things? God uses trials. The devil will use them to destroy you. James 1, 13 and 14, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, I learned very early in my Christian walk that there is power in memorizing Scripture. Yet when you tell somebody that, They want to look at you like you're just trying to tell me to memorize the Bible. No, I'm trying to tell you that when God gives you directions, that if you know what the directions are, when you face the problems that you have, you can stand on His word and His promises. And I learned very early in my Christian walk that even though I had all the struggles, I knew that there were certain scriptures that came about, and I don't know what yours is, but I know that Philippians 1:6, I am confident with this, he who has begun a good works and he will complete it in Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many have used that? When you're in that moment and you're struggling, I can do all things through Christ. Your knees may be knocking. You may wish you had some duct tape tied around them that they weren't giving out on you. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm standing on the Word of God. I rely on the Holy Spirit to give me insight, to give me strength. Those two verses for me work for me. You need to find your own. Use them if you want to. They're for everybody. But God will give you verses. And I've learned a long time ago, when God says run, get a running. I'm telling you, get a running. Get out of that circumstance. Get out of that situation. Just start running. D.L. Moody says, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Let that sink in a minute. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Sometimes I realize when I'm talking to someone, the problem isn't that they don't know what they need to do. The problem is they're not willing to do what they're supposed to do. Make no mistake, we will be tempted. As long as we have these earthly bodies, as long as we're tempted by the flesh, as long as we are not walking this earth filled with God's Spirit to the fullest, we will be tempted. John Wesley asked his mother, Susanna Wesley, how do you define sin? She answered this way, if anything weakens your reasoning, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes away your desire for spiritual things, in short, if anything increases the power or authority of the flesh over the spirit, that for you is sin. Can you say amen to that? Because here's the thing. We all know things that God says stay away from. But I want you to understand something this morning. There are some things that will be sin for you because you will take it to a level that's not healthy. Amen? There's an illustration I found. It's this little boy was in a grocery store and he's walking around. He's standing next to this open box of peanut butter cookies and the grocer approaches him and says, "Boy, what are you doing?" "Nothing." Had this look of guilt. He says, "Nothing. It looks to me like you're trying to take a cookie." He says, "Oh no, mister, you got it wrong. I'm trying not to take the cookie." We laugh at the times where we think that, you know, the devil made me do it. The truth is the devil can't make you do anything. He's clever, but he's not all powerful. Satan dangles this bait out in front of us. Thanks, Heidi. I love that. I can always tell when she's here. The devil will put this bait out in front of you. And do you know that the bait is different for each and every one of us? Because he knows our weaknesses. The devil desires to cause us to stumble. He will use influences to take us away from the Lord, take us away from ministry, take us away from the things that we're supposed to be doing. If we're ineffective, we hurt ourselves, we hurt others, we hurt the ministry, we hurt the church, we hurt our families, and everything that God cares about. And when we go back to this portion of Scripture there, we see that you know, I looked at this and I thought, okay, is this a parable? Is this Jesus making an analogy? You know, was Jesus really tempted here? And here's my thought as I was trying to process all of that. Jesus in the wilderness here has to be more than a planned act. Do you see what I'm saying? It has to be more than just words, because if Jesus really wasn't tempted, then how can he show us how obedience would win through the Lord's strength? How, you know, if Jesus had a choice whether he was going to live the holy life or be tempted, Jesus passes the test as a sinless Messiah, but he also passes the test as earthly Jesus. He calls disciples to follow his lead because of the power of the Spirit working in his life. And as we journey, as I look at this and we desire to get God's help, and as we ask God to help us in our lives and allow us to be strengthened in all these things, let me just wind this down. See, time's getting away from us. The narrative is being filled with the Spirit, amen? The narrative is being obedient. The narrative is allowing God to do what's needed. See, if I looked at these three real quick, the devil uses our needs to take us away from our spiritual fulfillment. The devil says to him when he's hungry and he's been fasting 40 days, he says, "If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. If you're God, why are you hungry? Just make this bread." And God said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," meaning that we need the Spirit of God working in our lives. There's more to our spiritual fulfillment than food. That doesn't work, and the devil promises great things. He takes him and he promises him that if he would just worship him, he could have all of this. Don't you think it's funny when you look at this text? And he tells us here, I want to get this right. Starting at verse 6, well, let me start at verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me." Well, who gave it to him? Huh? It's a lie from the pits of hell here. Who gave it to him? Do you think God the Father said, "Yep, you can have all of this"? It was a lie. And he'll cause us to lie. That's why we need to know the word of God and understand it. And the third thing is the devil, the last time he tempts Jesus, takes him up on this high place, says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And he even quotes Isaiah. See, the devil knows the word of God more than we do. Quotes Isaiah, and Jesus said, don't put the Lord to the test. Each time Jesus was tested, he knew that he needed to respond and that God would respond. This is where we'll end. Verse 13. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And my closing thought is this. When's an opportune time? You want to know when an opportune time, real quickly, is when we have spiritual victory. When you're on a high, the devil will come and try to knock you off of there. He will come against you, and because you're on a spiritual high, you're not reading your Bible maybe as much because you're too busy. Your things are going good. You're not spending as much time in prayer. When you think you have it all together, that's when he'll try to knock you off. That's his opportune time. The second thing is when you're spiritually drained, just the total opposite. When you're low to the low, low, when you're sick of being sick, and you're just giving up because you don't think you have any more strength to come at it, the devil will come at you with it and try to cause you to stumble in your faith, cause you to lose the ground that you have. You're spiritually hungry, and you don't know what to do with it. Stress levels, sickness, fatigue, too many hours in the day. You can't have the clock going backwards all the time. Enjoy it. It only happens once a year that you get an extra hour. And the last thing is when you begin something new. Whether you're doing something new for God, new job, new friend, new boyfriend, new girlfriend, whatever. When he will try to sabotage, and hear me, he will try to sabotage anything that you try to do for God. Amen? I don't care how big or how small it is. If you determine, God, I will do this for you, I guarantee you that he will try to cause you to stumble. He will try to cause you to be divided. Wherever he can, and will use whatever he can use. My closing thought is that don't let that moment take you away from what God wants you to have. Fight him with the word of God. Fight him with the standing on the promises of God. Fight him with being filled to the Spirit and walking not in your strength. Do not let your fleshly desires supersede what you know God wants you to do. It will take everything you got, amen, plus God. And the only way you'll succeed is plus God. For those struggling, my prayer this morning is, God, help us. For those that have given up, my prayer is, God, set us back on our feet and allow us to do what you've called us to do. For those that have ministries, wherever you have us, whether it's in a church ministry, whether your ministry is your workplace or the school or wherever it is, God, help us to be all that we're supposed to, and may we accomplish all that we're supposed to accomplish. Amen? Father, this morning, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we look at this scripture, and it's not new. It's a scripture we've heard and read numerous times. But Lord God, when you look at that, you see that Jesus defeated the devil with the word of God hid in his heart, looking at the circumstance and the situation and knowing that don't tempt God. Man doesn't live by bread alone. The devil can't promise us anything except grief. Lord God, help us be strong. Help us to walk with you. Help us to understand that when you provide a way of escape, is not the time to whether we're going to debate you, Lord God, on whether we're going to do it. It's to respond quickly in the correct way. Lord God, help us. For those that are struggling this morning, I pray that you would give us victory. For those that just have been given up, they just feel like they've run right up to this barrier one too many times. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ, we bring down that barrier so that they could move forward. And those with ministries, whether they're in this church, in this community, at the workplace, in school, whether it's in our families as we teach our children and those that are around us, give us the ability to speak the word of God with authority, to stand on your promises, to understand and see the way of escape when we are being tempted. May we acknowledge and see the temptation that is before us, and that we respond properly. And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.